You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today. We are halfway through the week. It's a busy week for Tennessee. The Vols basketball team is getting ready for the SEC tournament on Friday. The Vols continue to rest up, get prepared, as Tennessee could use a bit of a break. They'll take it right now. Grant Williams received big-time recognition on Tuesday. I'll tell you about that coming up in the second segment of today's show. Not just Grant, some of his teammates as well. So I'll get to that in the second segment, as I'll also talk about something that really matters for Tennessee right now that the Vols are working on to try to make sure they're able to go as far as they want to in the postseason. Before that, here in segment number one, Jeremy Pruitt will talk about quarterback Jared Garantano. You'll hear from Garantano talking about his role as a leader within the offense. Jeremy Pruitt probably offered as much praise as I've heard from him talking about Garantano. So you'll hear that coming up in just a moment. And in segment number three, Rick Barnes talks about the SEC and the situation involving LSU. Tennessee did not win an SEC championship this season, and part of that's Tennessee's fault with the results. But also with LSU being the outright champ, a lot of people have said that's not really going to stand. So Rick Barnes will talk about what the league and what college basketball is thinking this week with that current situation. I'll get to all of that right here on Locked On Vols, your team every day, 5 days a week covering what's going on with Tennessee. Thanks for being here. Welcome to all the new listeners as well to Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Jared Garantano is clearly Tennessee's starting quarterback, and this is the first time that we've really been able to say that during the offseason. 2 years ago, he was battling Quentin Dormady for the starting position, and through those summer months, it became pretty clear that Quentin Dormady was going to be the starter. Last year during the offseason, Garantano was the guy pretty much during the spring, but that was with Keller Christ coming in to battle for the starting position during the summer and August. And while word started to travel behind the scenes that Garantano was for sure going to be the starter, Jeremy Pruitt would never offer that up. And remember, after last year's spring game, when Garantano was the MVP of the game, Jeremy Pruitt offered very little praise, if any, for Garantano and the way that he played. Now, Garantano is clearly the starter. There is no one that is expected to even come close to pushing him for that position. And any kind of quarterback battle is really around the backup position. JT Schrout and Brian Maurer competing to be the number two quarterback behind, well, number two, Jared Garantano. And I would say Schrout is easily number two right now. Brian Maurer's only had three practices ever in college. Neither player has taken a snap at the college level. But that race will really heat up, I would say, in August. I wanted you to hear what Jeremy Pruitt said on Monday night after practice, Tennessee's third practice of the spring and first practice in full pads, talking about Jared Garantano and how he has developed, how he's progressed within this offense, now entering his fourth year at Tennessee. This is Tennessee's head coach talking about starting quarterback Jared Garantano.
You know, JG has much more experience than the other guys, so I think with every young football player, there's probably a, there's a lot of unknowns, you know. So, I think some of these younger guys, they possibly get a little uptight trying to figure out, you know. They're all talented guys, but till you get out there and you've kind of done it a little bit, it takes a while till the game kind of slows down. I think the game is really slowed down for Jared. He's played a lot of ball. He's took a lot of hits. I think we all understand that really doesn't bother him. I think he's got a pretty good understanding for what we're trying to do for 3 days, which he should. He knows how to prepare. So I think it's been really positive. So. That's the way the quarterback position should be.
Jeremy Pruitt talking about Jared Garantano. I think that's easily the most praise that Pruitt offered. In the middle of that comment, while Pruitt was talking about the backup quarterbacks and their lack of experience, I wasn't sure if he was going to come back to Garantano. I was caught off guard when he came back with that amount of praise, those compliments for Garantano, which says to me that he is gaining more trust with this coaching staff? Garantano's, of course, new in working with Jim Chaney. He's only been on the job at Tennessee for a couple of months at this point. But Jeremy Pruitt has been around Garantano for more than a year. And I thought that Garantano took a nice step forward from where he was as a redshirt freshman to a sophomore. I spent some time this past fall defending Garantano because, as I've also kind of brought up on the show, I don't think he was really all that close to 100%. That doesn't mean Garantano was perfect. He needed to get better, and Garantano would say that he needs to get better, and Pruitt has said that. And I would bet on him improving. I think that Garantano is going to be a better quarterback this upcoming fall than he's been. He also sounds different to me. Garantano, when he was in his first year or two here, really when he was entering his redshirt freshman season, that's the first time we heard from Garantano at Tennessee, he was very confident. He was talking about winning championships. He was talking about winning the starting job and running away with it when he was in a battle with Quentin Dormady. When the truth is, Garantano was really not ready to play. Now that he is ready to play, and he is the number one guy, I think we hear more humility from Garantano. He doesn't talk as confidently, even though he remains very confident in his own ability. He sounds more mature. He sounds like a leader, which is something he talked about on Friday when he met with the media. Trey Smith has been considered the guy that would really take hold of a leadership role on offense, and he is still helping in that regard, but Trey is not currently playing for Tennessee. He is off to the side during practice trying to help his teammates. So Garantano is a guy that Tennessee is probably looking forward to kind of take charge and be a leader. He talked about that on Friday meeting with the media.
I think going into my third spring, I think that I'm going to have to be a bigger leader. I think I'm going to have to lead the way a little bit more. Trey's doing a great job of being on the field and helping the guys around him as well. So I think that, of course, another year of growth, I'm going to need to be a better leader. And then I have guys like Juwan and Marquez out there that are also guys that have been in leadership roles.
I think Garantano understands what his position is. I think he's also just more comfortable. He's probably more comfortable meeting with the media. There's maybe a little more coach speak to him in his answers. And at that position, I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. So I think you're talking about a guy now that knows what it takes to be successful in the SEC. Let's just see if he can get it done. And I do believe that Jim Chaney, being the offensive coordinator, can really help him. Something that David Ubben mentioned on Tuesday's show was that maybe having four different offensive coordinators and four different quarterbacks coaches can help Garantano because he has seen a lot. He's gotten different kind of coaching. He's been in different systems. And Chaney is probably the most respected coach of these coaches who has helped guide Garantano. And Chris Winkie has his experience at Florida State and playing and coaching in the NFL. I don't think that can hurt. Really, to me, it's about Jim Chaney being the offense coordinator. I know he's not the quarterback's coach. He's the guy that's in charge of all that's happening, and he will be very hands-on with how Garantano plays. So if you're looking for a reason to be confident in Garantano improving and playing at an even higher level, I would say point to Jim Chaney. With the success he's had with a number of different quarterbacks at different levels and different conferences, there are plenty of reasons to be confident that Jim Chaney can get more out of Garantano. And if Garantano is better than he was this past season, Tennessee's offense and Tennessee's football team should be better as well. That's something to be optimistic about. So Tennessee's head coach offering praise for Jarrett Garantano. If he's willing to compliment Garantano, I would say fans will be as well. We'll see how the spring progresses. We'll see if that continues. Jeremy Pruitt walked off the practice field on Monday saying that the offense kicked the defense's butt. We'll see if that's something that Jeremy Pruitt continues to say, if he continues to believe that the offense is making the right kind of strides. Garantano will play a big role in that. So will the offensive line. So will the other players returning. As Garantano's talking about, Marquez Callaway, Juwan Jennings, those players offer some reasons to be optimistic about the offense as well. A long way to go, and the offensive line to me has to be better before I'm going to be fully confident that the offense takes a big step forward. But pieces perhaps are in place right now for Tennessee. This is Locked On Vols. Coming up next, I'll switch to Tennessee basketball. Grant Williams is the best player in the SEC, according to the media and the coaches. You'll hear more about that coming up next, and a look at what Tennessee needs heading into postseason play for the Vols to go on the kind of run that they expect to go on. That's coming up on Locked On Vols, your team every day. If you'd like to send me any questions or comments for the show, please do so. I'm on Twitter at Josh_Ward and Facebook, facebook.com/Josh Ward. Send me a question or comment anytime for the show. I'll try to work in a mailbag segment before the weekends. I'm planning on doing that on Thursday's show. But on Twitter, on Facebook, reach out anytime you like. The Associated Press and SEC coaches announced their all-SEC teams on Tuesday. And with that came the award for SEC Player of the Year. Grant Williams won the award from both outlets, the Associated Press and the coaches. Grant Williams goes back-to-back with SEC Player of the Year honors, the first SEC player to do so since Corliss Williamson back in 1994 and 1995 for Arkansas. So Grant Williams is a first-team All-SEC member. He is the SEC Player of the Year for a second straight season. Other players who have accomplished the feat going back-to-back to win SEC Player of the Year include Bernard King. He actually did it three times. Dell Ellis, and then Shaquille O'Neal and Pete Maravich. That's some pretty elite company when you look back at the history of college basketball. So Grant Williams is first-team All-SEC, back-to-back SEC Player of the Year, and then Admiral Schofield earned first-team All-SEC recognition from the coaches and second-team All-SEC from the AP. I should point out the coaches have eight members on the first-team All-SEC list, five from the Associated Press. Jordan Bone is on the second-team All-SEC by both the coaches and the AP. So Bone, Schofield, and Grant Williams were named All-SEC. Grant's the SEC Player of the Year. Rick Barnes is a National Coach of the Year candidate. Within the SEC, that award went to Kermit Davis at Ole Miss, which I think is very deserving, as Ole Miss was picked as a bottom-of-the-SEC team heading into the season, and instead, the Rebels have a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. Will Wade could have won the SEC Coach of the Year award, but I think last week probably cost him that one. Currently suspended by LSU, really made it tough to give him a Coach of the Year award. We're going to get to LSU coming up in just a moment. But Grant Williams wins the SEC Player of the Year award. I think just about everybody expected that to be the case. PJ Washington at Kentucky made a bit of a push for the award. When Kentucky beat Tennessee a few weeks ago and PJ Washington had such a big game, there started to be more talk about PJ making a run at the award. And if he had had another big game against Tennessee and Kentucky had beaten Tennessee in Knoxville, well, then it could have gotten interesting. But with Grant outplaying PJ in Knoxville and Tennessee winning that game comfortably, I think that ended the race right there. Grant entered the year as the favorite to win it. He spent the entire season as the favorite to win it. And in the end, he goes back to back. It's a pretty incredible accomplishment for a guy who was not really wanted by any major school just a few years ago. And when he arrived at Tennessee, he had the goal of helping Tennessee win championships. And I'm sure he had the goal of getting some individual recognition as well. And look at what he's done. Grant has become a two-time SEC Player of the Year. He is a potential first-round pick in the NBA draft. He helped Tennessee win an SEC championship last year. Tennessee could win the SEC tournament this year. And, of course, we'll have a chance to go on a deep run in the NCAA tournament. It's pretty incredible when you think about what Grant Williams and his teammates have accomplished. Part of it is a team award because Tennessee being as good as it's been has helped Grant get the individual recognition. But a team that had a bunch of recruits that weren't really that coveted now has a bunch of players on the All-SEC teams. It's quite a story. Now, for Tennessee, heading into postseason play, the SEC tournament this week, and then next week, the start of the NCAA tournament, there will still be questions about what Tennessee needs to get done to go on a deep run. I thought back to a conversation I had with National College Basketball writer Jeff Goodman in December. This conversation that we had, I still think, holds true today, as on Tuesday, you heard Rick Barnes talking about Lamonte Turner's shooting woes, and that's something that he's trying to get through. Jordan Bone has played at a really high level. He's an All-SEC second-team member, and Jordan Bowden is capable of playing at a high level as well. He's had, overall, a really good season. But listen back to what Jeff Goodman said when I asked him what's his biggest question about Tennessee and what do the Vols need to do to reach their potential this year. Here's what Jeff Goodman said.
I just question Tennessee's guard play right now. And that's ultimately what you need to be able to go deep in the NCAA tournament. But I think that's going to be the key for them is consistency in the backcourt. They don't have as many guards as they had a year ago when Rick Barnes could really throw a bunch of guys on the perimeter at teams to try to wear them down and try to disrupt.
for Tennessee to be one of those teams at the end of the season? Is that your big if? What can they do in the backcourt, Lamonte Turner's health?
1,000%. 1,000% for me. I mean, they just need, you know, Bowden to hit some big shots like he did, to be a little bit more consistent, Turner to come back, solid point guard play, taking care of the basketball. I think, again, you know what you're going to get out of their big two. It's kind of the rest of the team that's got to be more consistent.
The big two being Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield, I still think that holds true. They are the big two, the guys that will help lead Tennessee. It's maybe become a big three with Williams, Schofield, and Bone. I mean, he is an all-SEC player, isn't he? So he deserves that kind of conversation. But overall, just looking at Tennessee and the way that the guards have played, when they've played at a really high level, Tennessee at its best. This is not any kind of off-the-wall thought with every team, pretty much. We look at the postseason and say, okay, which teams have the best guard play? Those are the teams that have a chance to go on a run. You need to take care of the basketball. You need the offense to run smoothly. You need the offense, in Tennessee's case, to run through Grant Williams, and the guards play a role in that. Get him the basketball. Allow him to create opportunities either for himself or for the guards to get better looks on the outside. That's something that can help Tennessee's offense as well. So I think what Jeff Goodman was saying in December still applies now. I think there are more reasons to be confident that Tennessee's guard play will be good enough for Tennessee to have success in the NCAA tournament. He's also correct, or I think it's played out correctly, that Tennessee has not been very deep there. Jalen Johnson has played, but not a lot. It's really been a three-headed monster at guard with Bone, Bowden, and Turner. And I think that means Tennessee needs all three guys to play consistently, play really good on defense, take care of the basketball on offense, and take good shots, and of course, make those shots. So how Tennessee's guards play will absolutely be a factor in what Tennessee does this weekend in the SEC tournament, and I would say more importantly, what Tennessee does starting next week
in the NCAA tournament. One other note before I wrap up this segment, Gonzaga went down against St. Mary's in the conference tournament final last night. It was a 60-47 win for St. Mary's. So Gonzaga is not guaranteed to have a number one seed. Right now, I think the Zags would be a one seed. Duke, North Carolina, Virginia will all have a chance. The winner of the SEC tournament, especially if it's Tennessee or Kentucky, will have a chance to be a one seed. Michigan State's in play. There are a number of teams that have a chance at number one spots. It seems right now that the only team that seems guaranteed to get a number one seed is Virginia. Gonzaga would have been a number one for sure if it had won last night. But that snaps a long winning streak for the Zags, and it puts Gonzaga in a position where it will wait and see if it will be a one seed thanks to the loss to St. Mary's last night. So Tennessee has an opportunity here. There's another spot potentially up for grabs. What Tennessee knows it needs to do, though, is go win the SEC tournament this weekend.
Coming up next on Locked On Vols, Tennessee finished second in the SEC, tied for second with Kentucky. The Vols are the three seed in the SEC tournament. LSU cut down the nets this past Saturday. LSU is the outright SEC champ for now. Rick Barnes talks about what's gone on down there, the story around LSU and Will Wade being suspended, and kind of a big picture look at that within the SEC and overall with college basketball. That's coming up next in the final segment of Locked On Vols, your team every day. If you have time to rate and review the show, please do so. Thanks to everybody who has left a rating and review on iTunes. It just takes a few moments. I appreciate all the feedback there. And if you have time to spread the word, tell friends and family who might be interested in Tennessee about the Daily Tennessee Podcast, Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. An odd thing happened on Saturday night. LSU won the SEC championship with its win against Vanderbilt. With Tennessee losing to Auburn, LSU wins the SEC title outright this year. But while LSU was cutting down the nets, the talk around that moment and LSU's performance was really around Will Wade, LSU's coach who was suspended for the game. He remains indefinitely suspended. And also Javonte Smart, who was held out this past weekend. Because right now, it's unknown if this championship is going to stand. So while LSU is celebrating a championship, and it's cutting down nets, and it's supposed to be a joyous occasion, everybody on the outside is watching and wondering, is this even going to count? And right now, it seems very possible, some would say probable, that it's not going to. That because of Will Wade's suspension for what he's reportedly done, with the report that came out from Yahoo Sports last week that Will Wade is on a wiretap, and in it he is talking about an offer that's made that goes beyond a scholarship, and it involves Javonte Smart, that wins in this season are going to have to be vacated, which will end up costing LSU the championship, which means it will cost the SEC a champ. They're not going to then hand the regular season championship to Kentucky and Tennessee. It would just be a vacated title. Rick Barnes was asked about the LSU situation because their position affects Tennessee, and Tennessee, again, could have beaten Auburn and shared an SEC title, which would have left it as the SEC champ, and that didn't happen. So Tennessee did have its opportunity, but Rick Barnes has been around this game for a long time. He's seen a lot within the sport, within college basketball. He was asked about the LSU situation and talked more big picture about it with college basketball on Monday. This is what Rick Barnes said about the situation and the story that is a big one involving LSU.
You know, I don't know enough about it, but I'd like to think that whatever is going to happen, that the right thing will be done. And what I mean by that, you know, the number one thing in competition, in the spirit of competition, is everybody plays on a level playing field. That's what it is. And we know this isn't the first situation that's come up in college basketball. It's going on. Believe me, people that have been in the business as long as I have, you're not naive about any of it. You're not. You like to think for the best, and you're always thinking about the student athlete, you know, and I think that one thing I will tell you, not everybody does the things that are out there sometimes that are being said. There's a lot of guys in this business that have done things the right way for a long time, and I'm not saying they're perfect in any stretch of the imagination. But the fact is, I hate it because of I hate it for a game. I do. I really do. I think this game has been great to so many people and what it does for so many. And I just hate to see a cloud over college basketball. And hopefully going forward, and the only way it's going to get solved is for, you know, if someone's found guilty, they got to pay the price, plain and simple. And I believe you're innocent until proven guilty, but if you're proven guilty, there's a price that has to be paid, and you got to pay it.
And that price for LSU, if Will Wade and the Tigers are found guilty, would be a championship. It was a special occasion on Saturday night. It was one that players and coaches and fans will always remember. It just may not count in the future. And for everybody involved, for LSU, for the SEC, for other schools who are going up against LSU, that's a shame. And as Rick Barnes is talking about there, let's not be naive. Let's not act like LSU is the only school cheating. Will Wade, if he's paying players, he's not the only coach doing it. He might be the only coach who's confirming it on a wiretap, and for that, you're going to pay a price if that's what's found to have happened. But for the SEC, it has to put a stain on this season if LSU ends up giving up its championship. If you play a season and at the end you don't have a champion, well, that's kind of a lost season for the league. We'll see what happens. We'll see how this affects the sport, how it affects college basketball. You have a situation surrounding Arizona. There are questions about what's going on at Kansas. Who knows what else comes out? Yahoo Sports had that report last week. If Yahoo Sports hadn't reported that last week, Will Wade would have been coaching on Saturday, and he might have been named the coach of the year on Tuesday. But the report did come out. Will Wade was not on the sideline, and Kermit Davis is the coach of the year in the league instead. So you've got that going on. More importantly, SEC tournament action gets going. Tonight's games are not that big of a deal. These teams are not going to compete for an SEC title. You have Missouri versus Georgia, and then Texas A&M versus Vanderbilt. Then four games tomorrow. Conference action is a lot of fun. I hope you're watching the mid-major tournaments if you get a chance, and bigger tournaments get going. ACC started up yesterday. The SEC gets going today. We'll see what happens. And then on Friday, Tennessee will have the final game of the night. Coming up tomorrow, more Tennessee football. The Vols will be on the practice field today. Tomorrow's also Pro Day. I'll talk a little bit about that and more on Tennessee hoops. All right here on Locked On Vols, 5 days a week covering what's going on with Tennessee. Download, subscribe, rate, and review. My name's Josh Ward. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you here tomorrow.